got for me? Ooh, baby. You so nasty.
Just how nasty is nasty. Just how nasty. Do you want it, baby? Just how nasty.
Oh, baby.
Is nasty. Just how nasty. Do you want it, baby? Just how nasty.
Right there.
Is nasty.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the How Nasty is Too Nasty podcast. As always, I'm your host, Naomi Pete, author of Broken Vows and In the Panty Drawer. Happy Memorial Day weekend. I have no real special plans this weekend to speak of, but the next month or so is going to be very interesting for me. I have to apologize for the past 2 weeks that you've gone without a show, but my podcast poses a very unique problem. I have a 10-year-old daughter, and my computer room slash studio also serves as her playroom slash TV room. So I have to wait until baby girl goes to bed at night to begin recording, and often that is later than you might think for a 10-year-old, especially with school being out right now. So I finally told her she had to go watch TV in the living room so that I can record the show. In 2 weeks, baby girl and I will be traveling to my hometown of Las Vegas. My sweet 18-year-old niece is graduating high school. Phew, where has the time gone? And I wouldn't miss it for the world, so I'm also leaving my daughter there to hang out with grandma, her aunt, her uncle, and cousins for the summer, as we've done for the past 5 or 6 summers. My mom and brother and sister are all Chinese, and here in the South, in good old Baton Rouge, Louisiana, my daughter doesn't get that exposure that I would like her to get for her culture, so I want to make sure she stays close to my mom and our Chinese heritage. You can also expect many more episodes of this podcast while she's gone as well. At the end of June, my hubby and I will be attending our yearly convention in Columbus, Ohio, the Origins Gaming Convention. It's a little-known fact I'm a tremendous geek. I love to collect comic books, paint miniatures, play role-playing games on the computer and the tabletop as well. Kind of think Dungeons & Dragons, if you've ever heard of that, but not Dungeons & Dragons. It's the one time all year that hubby can relax and kick his feet up and do something we both enjoy for a whole week, and it's so much fun. If you want to read my write-up of the last convention we went to, and it has a lot of pictures on it, you can go to www.addicted_2_RPGS.livejournal.com. Again, www.addicted_2_RPGS.livejournal.com. It's some pretty interesting stuff. Enough about me already. Let's get to the nitty-gritty. Tonight, I am reviewing another great African-American erotica novel by another of the erotic elite, My Secrets, Your Lies by Entice. That's N'TYSE, which stands for Never Tell Your Secrets. You will not be disappointed when you pick up this incredible book. I will let this book speak for itself here and then let you know what I absolutely loved about it. So, without further ado, let's dive right in.
My Secrets, Your Lies by Entice.
From the back cover, this bold and daring novel takes you on a fast-paced journey into the very separate lives of Sand and Renee, an African-American young lesbian couple who have been dating since they were 17. Sand, the stud of the two, is on a mission and preoccupied with her own personal and business issues, so much so that she's too blind to see that her girlfriend is lonely and longing. Renee uses the time to deliberate over her not-so-accepting lifestyle while trying to figure out a way to escape it. She then looks for more than what Sand has to offer in the pants of another person. Yes, a man who's ready to ask her for her hand in marriage. Ignorant to the fact that his fiancé is not the woman he thinks she is, Vincent settles for the lies and buried secrets she has sheltered in a heart of pain. But all that happens in the dark comes to light in this twisted, heated novel that's full of suspense, drama, and luring seduction. As the cards unfold, secrets and lies will be revealed. Tempers are sparked and flames ignited, so if you can't take this heat, then stay out of the kitchen. This book is targeted for mature audiences only due to its explicit content, sensitive subjects, and street life insight. Open-minders only, all others proceed with caution and satisfy your curiosity. And Ty steps out on the erotic scene demanding attention. She tells a story like a seasoned veteran in this debut novel that's sure to have readers enticed from the first page to the last. Torian Ferguson, Essence Magazine's best-selling author of Swingers. And now a couple of excerpts from the book to give you an idea how hot this joint really is. The first excerpt is from the point of view of San, the masculine partner of the two, recalling a troubling bit of past from her childhood. The last time I took a picture was back in the first grade. The school sent the students home picture information with details about dates and purchasing prices. Since my mom never got around to asking me to have professional pictures taken since I was a newborn, she hopped on the opportunity when it landed. My mom was so happy that her baby would be finally taking professional pictures and not the snapshots her and dad took of me running around the house crazy, hiding from them in their camera. She had me all dressed up and looking so cute for the big day. I remember her folding a crisp $20 bill and placing it inside of the yellow envelope. When I came home from school that afternoon, she was angry and pissed off at what she saw. She had so much disgust in her eyes that she could hardly tolerate looking at me. "What is this, Sand?" she kept asking me over and over again. "What the fuck is this? Who told you to do this to your goddamn hair?" It was very clear what I had done. The two pigtails that hung on each side of my head had been purposefully sliced off. I took the sharpest scissors off my teacher's desk and cut the dreadful twigs off my head without thinking twice about it. I then took a comb from my backpack and combed my hair all back, slicking it down with lotion and water. The pretty little red ribbons that were tied around my pigtails were gone, and the ugly barrettes that hung from my plaits were in the trash. She eyed me up and down, looking at my hair and down at my red and pink flowered dress that had gotten all dirty from digging up earthworms with the boys. "Do you know what you look like now?" she asked me. "Do you know what you fucking look like now?" she hollered at the top of her lungs, making my ears ring with every yelling drill. She pulled me by the littlest piece of hair I had left and dragged my little ass into the bathroom. "Look at yourself, Cassandra Janine Ross. Look at what you did to your goddamn hair," she cursed over and over. "You look like a damn boy now, you hear me? A damn boy." She didn't even bother whooping my ass. She left that for my father to finish. When he got home, he was so pissed off that he swore up and down he'd have killed me if he'd have touched me. I was told to stay in my room and never come back out. When those pictures finally arrived, I can recall her ripping the 8x10 straight down the middle and trashing the others with it. From the days that followed, I walked around the house like a stranger. Still, I was so young, yet so confused on life and the thoughts that teased my young soul. I used to just brush them off and assume they were all natural until I reached high school. The 9th grade would be when all those entrapped emotions exposed themselves. That's when glances at women became stares, and when being in the presence of one sent a tingling sensation between my legs. So that was a scene that really stuck with me when I read this book. It gives us a lot of insight on who Sand really is deep inside and some of her background. I think that scene really made me relate to the character and made her very real to me. That's when I began to care for her. And now after Sand graduates, her homeboy James throws her a big party, fully equipped with strippers and the whole nine. As the drinks continue flowing, Sand becomes more and more intoxicated and somehow ends up in James's guest room with Jasmine, a girl that she met previously at Sophisticated Images, where she and her girlfriend Renee had gone to take pictures earlier. Jasmine was talking to me, and in walked Peaches out of nowhere. "I'm not interrupting anything, am I, ladies?" Her smile was real crooked, and I was almost glad she walked in. I hoped that Peach's entrance would start Jasmine on a whole new subject, better yet downplay her freaky groove. She went on and on about how she was digging me and wanted to be down with me. She even went as far as to say she didn't give a damn if I had a girl. Now, I wasn't new to the game, but I surely was new to the scene. I thought I misunderstood her when she insisted on being with me, knowing that I had a woman at home. I tried to shake her, but those damn lips and that smile melted me all over again. She scooted closer and closer to me, trying to squeeze her way into my space. I rubbed my chin and watched her closely. She started removing her clothes, like it wasn't nothing to it but to do it. First went her net, and then the short dress she had on underneath. I watched her remove her panties and bra, and she did it, not minding that Peaches was nearby in the restroom, and capable of walking in. I smiled, shaking my head, trying to prematurely withdraw myself from what was about to go down. "Come on, Mama," I told her. We both had had one too many drinks. The liquor was talking to me, and I could tell that the hypnotique had already spoken to her. She forced me back onto the bed. She began slow dancing and shaking her ass in front of me as the music could still be heard through the walls. She flipped the light switch, dimming the lights a little bit more than they had been, and climbed on top of me. Her legs were straddled against me loosely, and she was ass naked. She pressed her perky titties in my face and forced me to enjoy it. I tried not to, but the drink was still doing its thing. I placed the empty glass on the nightstand and watched her like a thief in the night. Even though it was dark as hell, I could still see her, using the light that crept from underneath the bathroom door. All of a sudden, that light had vanished. I laid back, still trying to talk Jasmine up off me, but the fight in me had left. I was too weak and vulnerable. Wanting, but not wanting. Needing some pussy, but couldn't get to it. She slid her hands up and down my body, positioning my hands onto her soft, round ass. She wanted me to feel every thrusting movement she made. I tried to sit up. She pushed me back, forcing me to lie down, and suddenly climbed onto my face and glided herself down, easily and steadily. Next, I felt pubic hairs tickling my chin and right in my face. "This isn't Renee," I kept reminding myself. I forced my head back and tried to turn away, telling her we can't do this. "Uh-uh, baby. I want you. I need you. I saw how you were looking at me. I know you want this. James paid for this pussy for you to enjoy tonight, so I'm delivering it." I finally caught the voice, and it was no longer Jasmine that was on top of me, but Peaches. She fucked and rolled my face like a pro. The next thing I knew, she tried to go down on me, but I refused. When she saw how quickly I jumped the hell up, she knew what time it was. Figuring I had never been touched down there, she avoided the area. I looked to my right because I could feel another body laying there. It was Jasmine. I could tell by that sweet vanilla scent that had been absorbed on her body all night. She was lying next to me, holding my right hand and finger-fucking herself with her other. These women were as wild as they came. I better get my ass up out of here before while I still can. I tried to help myself up by easing up, but Peaches was on my leg once again trying to spread her pussy juices. She had also removed all her clothing and was humping me like a dog in heat. "Come on, take your clothes off," they both kept saying. I knew if I did that, things would only get worse. Jasmine was still on the side of me, pulling at my boxers, playing with her nipples. Peaches was in between Jasmine's legs, getting a grub on, allowing me the pleasure of watching. Jasmine moaned in pleasure and pulled and dug her nails into my arms with every movement that Peaches caused. She had to be going to work down there because I was for certain that Jasmine had my damn arm bleeding. I was ready for her to reach her orgasm so I could get the fuck up and be gone. Just as the thought entered my mind, Peaches said, "Now this is not right. Jazzy, we're having too much fun and Sand here ain't participating. How rude of us." "No, no," I shook my head. "I'm enjoying myself, really, so you girls go right on ahead and keep doing what you're doing." Before I could say any more, Peaches had her long tongue halfway down my throat, compelling me to surrender to her. I sampled a little bit of what Jasmine tasted like from Peaches' tongue. She was so sweet and tasty, almost too tasty. Jasmine had lifted up my undershirt and exposed my underdeveloped breasts. She began sucking them, making them grow erect. I tried to fight every feeling that both of them were anxious to let out. I could no longer hold back. I moved Peaches to the side and climbed on top of Jasmine and fucked the shit out of her. I ran my fingers in her so deep I could have sworn my arm was almost fully in. She was wet as hell, deep like an ocean, pouring like a waterfall, and that's the way I liked it. She turned me on more than Peaches, and I wanted so badly to die inside of her. I kept telling myself that I didn't know her and had no idea if she was involved with someone or not. I didn't like to invade on OPP, other people's pussy, and I damn sure didn't want to bring anything back to Renee. I was dead serious about that. I knew from the jump that if I engaged myself any further, I was putting myself at risk. Fuck it. I was hot, and this girl was about to get a piece of something she never had. After I made a climax with my fingers for the second time, while So Beautiful by Joe played in the background, I decided to do some shit she probably ain't never had done in her entire life. "Get on top of me and ride my face," I demanded. She did as told, and Peaches watched from the sidelines, trying to get in wherever she fit in, every chance she got. I sucked on Jasmine's pussy until she was mumbling through clenched teeth. She grabbed my braids to hang on to while I took her for a horseback ride, and the moment I realized her steamy juices were about to boil over, I inserted my index finger into her tight asshole and fondled her tits with the other, all while chastising her pussy as if it were mine and mine only. The only sounds that were escaping Jasmine's mouth were, "Ooh, damn, Daddy, don't stop. Please, Sand, don't quit." Soon after that, the spell was cast. Drips of what she had left in her came rushing out and into my mouth. She tasted sweet like a red apple slice dipped in warm, sticky caramel. When we were finished, and once I saw that the sun was coming up, I left and dashed home, ready to get my ass chewed out. Whew! Now that's what I'm talking about. That's some serious shit. And Tice is throwing it down in that scene. So now you know a lot of the books in this genre have the same type of scenes and the same type of drama running through them. And it takes a skilled author to really break through and make their story unique and pop off the page. I found that a lot of the reason I love this book was when Antice would allow me to glimpse back at trying times that Sand had when she was growing up. like that previous excerpt that we read about the childhood pictures and the mess she went through with the decision to cut her hair. Here's another excerpt where we'll see what happens when it comes to a head for her parents, and Sand is ultimately kicked out of their home for her sexual orientation. I came home from school all excited because I received my TAAS results. I had all passing scores. Mama, where you at? I want to show you something. I looked around the entire house for her. I knew she had to be home because she didn't work or drive, so there's no other place for her to be but in the house, cooking and cleaning. Mama! I kept yelling at the top of my lungs. I gotta show you something! I headed for my room, hoping she had not gotten comfortable there. I shot up the stairs. Mama! She was sitting on my bed with her face buried in the letter. There were others surrounding her, apparently those that she had already read and chucked to the side. I saw my white, red, and blue K-Swiss box open. That's where I kept all the letters that was supposed to be secretive and for my eyes only. Letters from my first girlfriend, Deandra. Mama had violated my space. Trespassed, overstepped the boundaries that I felt I was entitled to having. When she heard my voice, she placed the white piece of paper in her lap. She had tears running down her face. I already knew what letter she had found. Mama, I kept saying, why are you in my room, in my things? She looked up at me slowly, holding the letter in her left hand. She raised her right hand and forcefully stung my face. I grabbed at the stinging pain that shot through the left side of my jaw, numbing the entire half of my face. Tears fell from my eyes. How could you do this to me? She held the letter up in my face. What, Mama? Do what? So you dyking now? You trying to be one of them there funny people? You in love with some girl that has the same thing in between her legs as you do? Damn you, Cassandra, you're a disgrace. I went through 9 hours of hard labor to give you life, and this is how you repay me? I stood there face to face with my mother. She was still crying, allowing me to witness the tears free fall from her eyes onto the paper. She shook her head. This is nonsense, Cassandra. How long? When? Why? I thought we raised you better than this. I couldn't reply. I was too mad at her for even fumbling through my things anyway, almost ashamed that she had to find out about me like this. But why was she even in my room to begin with, searching through my personal belongings? Mama, why were you going through my stuff? Do you pay the goddamn bills around here? Huh? Do you? Hell no, you don't. I can look and go through whatever the hell I want to go through in this damn house as long as my name is Ruby Mae Ross. Spit flew from her mouth and landed in my face. I wiped it away, scared not to make any sudden moves, afraid she would slap the shit out of me again. The last time she knocked my ass clean across the room with one hit or quitter. She thought I was trying to buck up to fight after she'd worn my big ass out with an extension cord. Bad grades, and that was the ultimate down-home ass beating. I want you to get your shit and get the fuck out of my house. Her loud yells sent chills through my body. I walked to my closet to grab the few clothes that were hanging from the racks. Uh-uh, what are you doing? I'm getting my clothes like you told me to. Like hell you are. You're not taking a damn thing that me and your father bought. I mean, get your slutty filth. The shit you've been hiding in that there closet. She threw the letter at me that she held in her hand. She pointed to the open shoebox on my bed. I want that shit out my house right now. Right goddamn now. And you along with it. Mama, where am I gonna go? I don't have anywhere to go. I was begging for her to take back the threat of putting me out in the streets, but she didn't. Mama, please, I begged, crying like a little girl. I ain't got nowhere to go. I don't give a damn where you go. Long as you ain't here, I don't want to ever see your face around here. Don't bother coming around me. You're dead, you hear me? Dead. I grabbed my knapsack and the box of letters that revealed the life that I had lived outside of my parents' home. The life that I had chose to keep a deep, dark secret. As I walked down the steps, I saw my dad standing at the end of them, his head bowed down, unable to look me in the face. Daddy. Just leave, Sand. I could still hear the cries that came from my upstairs room. Just leave and do what your mother asks. My dad never looked up, and I never looked back. I just headed out the door to face what was coming to me. Now, another reason why this book is so different from many others is the gritty and intense violence and undercurrent of danger and mystery that flows throughout the story. I wanted to read you an excerpt where the violence grows and climaxes, and Sand wakes up somewhere she never thought she'd be. Now, one thing to just remember and keep in mind going into this excerpt. Sand is what you would call a stone butch in the lesbian community. That would be a woman who enjoys pleasure in her partner, but does not allow her partner to return the favors. A lesbian woman who doesn't like to be touched and pleased on her breasts or around her vagina, and knowing that makes the scene even more intense. I felt a cool breeze tap me on my shoulders. I could barely turn my neck around because it hurt so bad. I had no idea where I was, but I knew for damn sure it wasn't home. I was trying to remember if I had once again drank too many drinks, and maybe followed some female home. The more I widened my eyes and sucked in dirty air, I regained consciousness. My eyes roamed around the room in every direction as I lay on my back, wondering how the hell I got here. I tried to sit up, but both my arms were tied tight to the bedpost. I looked toward my feet. They were also tied down and spread far apart. I had no idea how I'd gotten here. I tried pulling my arms out of the rope, but it was to no use. They weren't budging, only making the red marks around my wrist darker. "Who the fuck is in here?" I yelled as loud as I could. I heard nothing. Then I heard the door slowly open and a female appear in the doorway. She was completely naked, except for a pair of long, black, shiny boots. She eased her way in my direction. As she got closer, I knew exactly who I was dealing with. China. She stepped onto the bed where I lay. Her long, black boots were dangerously close to my face, daring me to move so I could get stepped on. Once she was standing directly over me, she squatted down. "Have you thought about what we talked about?" I looked at her crazy. If she was talking about that little proposal she had offered me, she could forget it. I wasn't about to do a damn thing with keeping track of who was selling the most pussy, a trick and no hoe off. That wasn't my style. I rolled my eyes. "So is that a no?" I turned my head. "So is this what this is all about?" I thought. "All of this?" She stood up again. "You know, Sand, I don't like to be told no." She made a smirking sound. "In fact, I have never been told no." She grinned and then quickly erased it. "I've always gotten what I wanted, when I wanted. So you know that you're making this harder than it should be. I make you a perfectly nice offer to become a part of a million-dollar network, and you turn me down?" She looked me dead in the face, but China didn't scare me. She was just another bitch that wanted to be in control of something. "China, we may as well get this over with, because I don't have any good news for you. I ain't gonna do it, and that's that." "Huh. Oh, really?" She rose up slowly, and I caught a glimpse of her trimmed midsection. "Well, let's see if this changes your mind." "Let her in." She turned her head and to face the door. Another naked body appeared before me. She was one of the strippers from the graduation party. I remembered her performance very well. She handed China a long pair of orange scissors. What was she about to do to me? China took them in her hands and brought them to my face, lowering them around my middle. She began cutting my jeans off along with my boxers. "You like this, huh? You like this?" She ripped the clothing from underneath me and tossed it to the floor. She ran her hands over my split and then up again to my stomach. I cringed. The other girl pulled her hair up into a loose bun, and before I knew it, her warm lips and tongue had taken a dive between my legs. I yanked and turned and squeezed my legs together as tight as I could to keep the girl from coming near my area. My yells and screams didn't matter at all. China cackled like an evil witch. She looked at me and said, "All the pussies in this house I own, including yours. I got a video ready to roll. The cover's gonna read, 'Dyke Butch Gets Dicked.'" I was still fighting with the ropes and yelling for them to raise up. China started laughing with a crooked smile of satisfaction. "What, you ain't never had the kitty played with before?" She motioned to the stripper. "Fantasy, do your thing, doll." China walked to the foot of the bed and took a front row seat. Next thing I knew, Fantasy's fingers were inching inside of me. "How you like it, mama? Three fingers or four?" Well, I think that sets stage for this amazing novel by Entice. The author chose to publish her book herself through her own publishing company, A Million Thoughts Publishing. I've had the pleasure of speaking with Entice in the past through our MySpace pages as well as on Blog Talk Radio, and she's always impressed me with her forthcoming fiction and her honest portrayal of a lifestyle that many of us are not privy to. So here we go with my own review of My Secrets, Your Lies by Entice, a review by Naomi Pete. If you're searching for a book that will satisfy your craving for a gritty urban tale with sincere, realistic characters deeply woven into a fiery and intense love story, My Secrets, Your Lies by Entice will fit the bill. Sand and Renee's lesbian love affair is filled with unexpected surprises around every corner. Entice skillfully pulls me into the steaming drama and makes me relate to all of the main players in this intricate plot. I found myself increasingly drawn to Sand, the stud of the couple, whose appearance is very purposefully masculine. Through telling glimpses into Sam's past and her troubled childhood, I was able to get a real feel for who this woman was and why she makes the decisions that she does throughout the book. Renee's manipulative deception involving her double lifestyle was a major turnoff for me, causing me to dislike her character more and more as the story progressed. Unable to make a serious and conscious choice between her loving relationship with Sand or her comfortable union with Vincent, Renee seemed confused and unfaithful to me. Two majorly unattractive qualities in my book, whether you're male or female. This just goes to show that Entice was able to do what every writer longs to, evoke major emotions within her readers that are long-lasting after that book is closed. Between the conspiratorial setups, the lying between lovers, and the shocking murder and mayhem, this book held my attention for a full 229 pages of fabulous fiction. I'm not usually fond of the to-be-continued endings to many novels, but I find myself eager to read the second installment of My Secret, Your Lies, entitled Stud Princess. The story ends on a cliffhanger, and I'm biting my nails, anticipating Entice's next release. So now, I'm about to give you a quick taste of Naomi, because I know that's what y'all have been waiting for, right? I present to you tonight, Pops, a short story by Naomi Peet. Look, I never said I was a strong-willed girl, okay? I've always tried to be, but I know myself better than anyone, and I knew that I've always been known to give in easily to temptation. What do you mean, don't I have any remorse? Why should I? He's the one who came on to me in the first place. Well, isn't blood supposed to be thicker than water? And how was I supposed to react when a fine, debonair, sophisticated man compliments me and tells me how gorgeous I am? It's not like I get that kind of attention from you, or else maybe I could resist somebody else's advances. No, it's not an excuse. And no, I'm not blaming you for what I did. I know it's my fault, and I know that I definitely could have said no. The truth is, I didn't want to. I mean, you should understand. You've lived with him your whole life, right? You know how he can be. I only agreed to meet you here because you begged me. You said you wanted to know the whole truth, right? Well, fine. I mean, I know we can't ever be together again after all this. You know, but I guess the least I can do is tell you what really happened. I know he won't ever tell you. Okay, so I'm going to tell you the complete and honest truth here, with all the gritty details. So you have to promise not to interrupt, no matter how much you might want to. All right. Well, here goes. Well, you know what day it all started. You remember when we had gone to the movies that evening? What was it we had seen anyway? Oh yeah, I remember. You dragged me to see that movie, Iron Man. I ended up being glad you did, and even though I initially thought it would be just like every other comic book movie, I was pleasantly surprised at how good that movie was. So anyway, we left the theater and you suggested that we ride around for a bit before you took me home, so since it was only 9 p.m., I agreed. I mean, Mom and Dad had loosened up a bit about curfew. You know, I'm still in high school and everything, but I did turn 18 3 months ago, so you know all about that argument. But anyway, they changed my curfew on weekends from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., so we had plenty of time. While we drove around, we talked. You changed the mood, and you put your hand right on my bare thigh, right beneath my miniskirt hem. I joked about keeping your mind on driving, and you told me that you could do two things at one time. So I was so excited that you were actually showing some initiative, and I wasn't having to be the first one to make a move this time. But as you let your fingers begin to roam upward along my flesh, I screamed. You had hit something, and not on me, on the road. I felt it underneath the car as we rolled sickeningly on top of it. I told you to watch where you were going, I had yelled at you, and you looked panicked. I think you were more worried about the damage to your daddy's car than the poor animal you just killed. Don't lie. You know you don't give a damn about that poor puppy, not even now. We started arguing because you wouldn't turn around, or you wouldn't even stop the vehicle so we could see what we did. I still remember looking back at the back window of your dad's Nissan and seeing that crumpled ball of white fur laying flat on the dark pavement. I started crying and you concentrated on driving then, with your face all frowned up and your eyebrows all furrowed up on your head. I guess you were thinking of what you was going to tell your dad if there turned out to be blood and fur and mess all over his car. Who knows what kind of dents or scratches there could be. Not to mention up underneath the car. And when we get to your house, you still haven't said a word to me. My tears had begun to dry, leaving light trails down my cheeks that I didn't bother to wipe away. Just take me home, Paul, I cried out, but all you said was something that I couldn't make out at first, and then you got out the car. I jumped out too and closed my car door, and I yelled, What? What did you say? Why aren't you taking me home? Finally, you answered me over your shoulder as you walked up to your front door and fumbled for your house key.
I gotta tell my mom what happened.
But what about your dad? I think he's out in the garage. I can see the light. I pointed to the left at your detached garage that your dad had converted into that home gym last year. The light was on, and I thought I could see movement behind the tinted glass on the garage door.
Whatever, my mom will know what to do, you had said.
Do you want me to come too? I asked you because I didn't know if you wanted me there when your mom found out you were a murderer. No, I'm not overreacting. You are a murderer. You killed that poor puppy and you know it. Anyway, that was when you said, well, do whatever you want. That really pissed me off because it wasn't my fault you ran over that damn dog. It was your own stupid fault. And here you were acting like a jackass to me. I said, well, maybe what I want to do is go tell your daddy what you did. How about that? But I don't even know if you heard me or not because you were already stepping in the house and you slammed the big door shut behind yourself. I sighed, frustrated again by your stank attitude and wondering if I should call my big sister to come and pick me up. I leaned back in the car and I took a deep breath. Well, turning, I started to reach for my purse to get my cell phone and call my sister, but you had locked the car doors and my purse was still inside. I groaned in frustration, realizing that you had me trapped. I swear, Paul, sometimes you don't even know how mad you make me when you act like that. Act like what? Act like you don't care what happens to me or how I feel about anything. When do you act like that? That night. You just left me outside and... Okay, look. I don't want to fight about that. I'm just telling you what led up to everything that happened later on, okay? Let's just leave that part alone. Damn. You always want to fight about something. So at this point, you know I was heated. I called you all kind of assholes and motherfuckers that night. I waited a few minutes to see if you were coming back out, but of course you didn't. I decided I was going to tell on your ass after all. I know your mama always covered for you and come up with excuses for you with your daddy, but I wasn't having it this time. I was going to let him know the truth. Your daddy always liked me anyway, so I knew he would listen to me, especially if I got to him before you did. Happy with my little plan, I ran to the detached garage. I definitely saw movement inside now, and I knocked on the door without letting myself in. He did convert it to a home gym, and I wanted to make sure he was decent before I went inside. Your daddy came to the door and swung it open wide without paying attention to who was on the other side, and he immediately turned around and went back to the weight bench. I inched my way in and closed the door behind me so you wouldn't see where I was right away when you came out of your house. Lying down to continue his bench presses, your daddy finally looked up to me and flashed me his winning smile. I will admit, at that point I did take a good look at old Pops. He'd been working really hard at getting fit, and at that moment he was wearing some loose-fitting white shorts and no shirt. I don't know if you really gotten a chance to look at him lately, but he is cut for real. While he pressed the barbell over his head and chest, I saw the muscles in his thighs tensing up and a sweat on his chest roll down off the bench and onto the concrete floor in puddles. And when he smiled at me, I couldn't help but smile back. Hey, Pops, you looking good? I laughed, blushing a little bit. Oh, girl, quit playing, he huffed, straining to talk while he kept exercising. I'm not playing. I never noticed before how much you've changed lately. Mrs. Wagner need to watch yourself. Some lady at church gonna notice you one day, too. I teased. You know me and your daddy always mess with each other like that. You too much, Tanya. Done with his set, he replaced the barbell back over his head and sat up, breathing heavily and grabbing a white hand towel to wipe his bald head. So what's up, baby girl? I need to tell you something. I got serious and wiped a smile from my face. He stopped smiling, too. What's wrong? Paul did something to you? He looked like he could spit fire, thinking of you hurting me. I was so touched by that. No, not to me, I hesitated, thinking of what I was about to say. Was I really that mad at you? And then I remembered how you slammed the door behind you when you left me outside alone, and I made my decision. Paul ran over a big old dog with your car. What? Your daddy jumped up and headed past me toward the door. I reached out and grabbed his arm, and without realizing it, I squeezed his bicep. He was standing right beside me at this point, and he turned to face me, bringing us even closer. Hold on, girl. I need to see the car. Is it damaged? I took my hand and looked at his arm in my hand and then pulled my hand away quick, looking back up into his eyes. Do you know how much your daddy looks like Morris Chestnut? Oh, why you want to get so quiet now? You've been asking me what happened for so long and you said you wanted to know, so I'm about to tell you. Well, there was a moment where we didn't say anything at all, and he and I just looked at each other. He was still breathing a little hard from his workout, and suddenly I was breathing hard, too. I smiled shyly, trying to break up the awkwardness. Tanya? Mm-hmm.
I answered him softly. You're a beautiful girl, you know that? My son is a lucky boy. I mean, really, you're a gorgeous woman. Let me ask you something. When do you turn 18? Your daddy's chest heaved up and down and his eyes began to squint sexily at me. Pops, I turned 18 in February. I smiled. Why? Really now, he said. Your daddy boldly reached out with both arms and wrapped his hands around my backside. He pulled me in tight and coated me with his hot sweat. It was just strange, you know, the way he was holding on to me, and he didn't care that all his wet, salty body fluids were dripping over us both. It did something to me. It's like I felt a switch in my head flip and it was game over. When he leaned in and leaned his head to the side, pressing his skilled lip against the softness of my neck. What, Paul? You wanted to know. Oh, you about to know now. It wasn't me, Paul. I know you think I went in the garage with the intent of seducing your father, but that is not what happened at all. I never meant for what happened to happen, but it did. And it happened because your daddy wanted it to happen. Yeah. Yeah, I could have said no. Hell no, I didn't. Your daddy is fine as hell. He has always been fine, and now he's working out like he is. He was irresistible, and I didn't resist. So he kissed my neck, and I couldn't suppress the moan that came from my lips. I hate to say it, but old Pops has skills. What? I don't give a damn how old he is, Paul. He can throw down better at 40 years old than most men can at 18. Why you tripping? He cut my breasts in his big, rough hands, squeezing them until it almost hurt, and then massaging them slow and easy until I couldn't take it anymore. And, well, if you don't want to hear it, then I'll just go home now, and you won't ever know the rest. Yeah, that's what the hell I thought. So anyway, within minutes, your daddy had my clothes off and on the floor. He reached behind us and turned the lights off, cloaking us in darkness. I heard the lock on the door to the garage click as he locked us in. Roughly spinning me around, he pushed my neck forward, and before I knew it, my ass was sticking up in the air and I was bent over with my hands resting on that weight bench. Pops dropped to his knees behind me on the bare concrete floor and started going at my pussy like a three-piece dinner. If it's one thing to be said about older men, it's that they're not afraid to do what they gotta do. He used his fingers over and over to dig at my center, sometimes using both hands to spread my lips wide enough to allow his tongue entry. He eagerly lapped up my juices like a hungry little puppy dog, savoring every drop of my sweet sustenance. Paul, why your daddy never taught you like that? Okay, my bad. You don't have to give me that look. My knees started to buckle and I almost fell to the ground, but your daddy held tight to my thighs and held me in position. It felt like he'd been eating my coochie for days. So by the time he flipped me over and laid me down off the side of that bench, I was so ready for the dick I almost forgot to return the favor to him. Yeah, I said almost. He stood up and walked behind me, his legs next to my head as I lay. I leaned all the way back and let my head fall backwards over the bench. He knelt, flexing those tight leg muscles of his, and shoved his rock-hard cock into my mouth. I suppressed my gag reflex and let him ram it down my throat over and over again. His legs started shaking after a while, and I paused, bringing his fat rod out for a moment so I could beg him to just go ahead and fuck me already. So yes, I guess you could say technically I did ask for it in the end. So while he repositioned himself in front of me and in between my legs, I squeezed my fat titties with both hands, working myself up into a frenzy. I'm fixed and I'm clean, baby girl, he whispered. And at first I didn't know what he meant. Young men don't talk like that about themselves. But he meant that he couldn't have kids anymore and that he was clean of any diseases. I won't even lie, he had me so worked up I didn't even care that he entered me bareback without a condom. I could have cared less. I mean, I know it's stupid and irresponsible, but I just wanted him. I mean, no, I just needed him inside of me, filling me up and hitting the back of my pussy wall so bad that he could have said anything at that point. Hearing him call me baby girl made my cunt muscles clench and made me think of how dirty I was and how nasty I was acting. I don't care what you say, Paul. Shit, I loved it. And let me just tell you, your damn daddy can fuck like a goddamn machine. He worked the hell out of this pussy and it won't ever be the same. I felt like he knocked the bottom out this bitch, and by the time he was done, I didn't even care if you found us like that. Me with his creamy sauce spilling from my vagina and him with my love coating his mouth like a milk mustache.
call me what you want to, Paul, but that's how that shit went down, whether you like it or not. We need to just deal with it and be adults about it and move on. I don't know if you can handle what's happened, but your father and I have agreed it's just a one-time thing. At first, I was angry he came clean to you, but I won't lie. I mean, I wonder why he didn't just leave well enough alone. We really could have gotten away with it. After all, I mean, you never found us. And when you finally came out the house with your mama, I was waiting by the car like I've been there all along. And your daddy was inspecting the hood and undercarriage and started yelling at you as soon as you came out the driveway. I guess the guilt finally got to him, though. He still hadn't told your mom. I guess I'm glad, because it would make it really awkward whenever I saw them at church. But now I'm glad that he told you, because I'm finally able to get it off my chest and come clean to you. So it's all out in the open and it can just be over. Why are you staring at me? Aren't you going to say anything, Paul? Well, fine. If that's how you feel about it, I'm just going to go. Damn, you think I get some respect for telling you the truth. Whatever. Well, that will do it for us tonight. Once again, I truly hope that you all enjoyed the show. Please leave me a comment on the show blog at www.hownastyis2nasty.blogspot.com and let me know what you think. And also, if you like, please donate to the tip jar on the screen as well, and all tips are definitely appreciated. Until next time, remember, nasty is not the same as naughty. Naughty is not the same as raunchy. And raunchy is not the same as sexy. But Naomi is all of the above. Good night, y'all.